Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see everyone here this morning. I know Ohio State lost. It's a sad day. But, whatever. No, but I'm a winner today. I am standing up as a winner today. A little story here real quick. Kara thought it'd be a great idea if me and her and a couple other people did a 5K yesterday. And that's not a very good idea in my book, but I still did it through the hospital. And so we ran in a 5K yesterday, and it was me and Kara and Nettie and Corey Nichols and Amy McCarty. And so the whole time beginning to do this 5K, Corey and I are just talking about how it's such a bad idea. And I even asked the people when they hand me the map, they're like, here's your map of the course. And I said, did this map go by McDonald's? Because I need to know that. Those are important things I need to know. And so we got to walking, and Corey and I had mapped out there's a spot that we could cut, and we could go hang out by behind Washington School on the playground. And then when the main group came through that we're running through, we'd just kind of slip in behind, and then that was that, and we would finish the race. And so it came time for that cutoff, and I said, Corey, are we making the cut? And he's like, no, we'll never live it down. I said, I'm all right with never living things down. I do that all the time. So that's not a problem for me, but if it's a problem for you, let's just keep going. And the girls were ahead of us a ways, and I said, here's a better idea, Corey. Why don't we keep those girls in our sights? We'll keep close enough, and at the end, we'll pass them, and we'll win. And so that's what we did the whole time. The whole time. This made the 5K awesome, because the whole time we're just plotting and scheming, and we're talking about how they're the hare and we're the tortoise. We're the snapping turtles, more than like it, because we're going to snap on them. And they're just like all laughing and having fun, and we're serious. And when they're not looking, we're doing one of these and get a little closer to them. And then we like, you know, and then we keep going. And at the end, me and Corey passed them, and we beat those ladies. And so that was So Corey and I are winners, and we're a little bit sore today, but it is what it is, and so we beat them, and it was good. So that was a fun story. And then we went out to breakfast afterwards, and they're like, oh, that's no fair. We knew you were going to do that the whole time. It's no fair. How about we do the turkey trot, and we'll see who wins? And I was like, we're retired. We're retired. You retire on top, we're retired, and I don't know how much it's going to take for us to come out of retirement, if we'll even come out of retirement. So you guys are just going to have to deal with the loss. And so we had a good time. It was a lot of fun just hanging out and talking and just enjoying being out in God's creation. And although I think that was a bad idea, we had a lot of fun, so it was fun. Hey, there was once a cab driver and a minister standing in line to get into heaven. Seems like there's always a line to get into heaven, right? There's always a line. And the cab driver approaches the gate, and St. Peter says, welcome. I understand you were a cab driver. Since I'm in charge of housing, I believe I've found the perfect place for you. See that mansion over the hilltop? It's yours. The minister heard all this, and he began to stand a little taller. You know, he also thinks to himself, if a cab driver got a place like that, just think what I'll get. The minister approaches the gate, and St. Peter says, welcome. I understand you are a minister. See that shack in the valley? St. Peter had hardly gotten the words out of his mouth when the irate minister said, hey, I was a minister. I preached the gospel. I helped reach people. I helped teach people about God. Why does that cab driver get a mansion and I get a shack? Sadly, St. Peter responds, well, it seems when you preached, people slept. When the cab driver drove, people prayed. This morning, we're wrapping up our Life on Mission series by talking about prayer. It's really important that as we finish up today, we talk about where we get the power. Back in the day before I was married and I had someone help me make good decisions about things in life, I like to soup up my car. And what that means is I like to add parts to my car to make it go fast. So I spent a lot of dumb money on my car trying to get it to go fast, and I even street raced a time or two, but I was always careful on who I raced. If somebody wanted to come up to me and race, I was always careful about that because you never knew if they had NOS or not. Anybody know what NOS is? Yeah, a couple of you. Nitrous oxide system, right? This is a system that would be hooked to your car It's this tank. It'd be hooked to your car right up to the engine, and with the push of a button, while you're driving, with the push of a button, would instantly give that person's engine more power. It was like an instant thing. It's not the best illustration, but I think it's a good illustration of prayer. It's that tapping into more power from a different source. Mark records the beginning of Jesus' ministry, and he records for us a moment when Jesus hits the nitrous button. And it's really interesting. And in Mark chapter 1, verses 32 through 34, it says, "That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and the demon-possessed. The whole town had gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases, and he also drove out many demons." Let me explain this. Jesus had already done the duking it out with the devil for the 40 days. He had gotten baptized. He had turned water into wine, and now he's started to heal people. And you know what happens? I'm guessing that if you have the gift of healing and you're able to heal somebody, they're going to go home and they're going to tell all their friends, right? I mean, they're going to go home and tell all their friends. And the demon-possessed person, when they get exercised, they're going to go back and go, "Hey, guess what? I'm all clean." Who did that? Jesus did, right? So he starts healing people, and everybody starts coming over. They're like cramming in the door. Everybody wants to be around Jesus because he's got these supernatural powers, right? And finally, he gets to bed, probably at some ungodly hour, and they kick everybody out, and he goes to bed. Then what does he do the next day? In verse 35, it says this, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, went off to a solitary place where he prayed." He hit the nitrous button. You see what I'm saying? Even the Son of God needed to tap into the extra power every once in a while. As a matter of fact, his disciples saw him needing the power of prayer so much that, and this is really cool, that when they finally get Jesus alone at one moment, they decided to ask him to teach them something. He said, "Lord, teach us." And what did they ask him to teach? "Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray." Shoot, I don't know about you, but I'd be like, "Lord, teach me how to make water into wine," right? That's awesome. "Teach me how to cast out demons. Teach me how to walk on water. Teach me whatever." All those things are cool. Those are cool things. Teach me those. But they knew that underneath the power that Jesus had to do all those things were prayer, was prayer. They said, "Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us how to hit that button." I'm sure this moment was a big deal to Jesus. I'm sure he was like, "Okay, now we're getting somewhere, right? Now you're finally getting it." And while this is our last action step that we will discuss in this series, in order to live our lives on mission, this is an action step that has to take place first. And all throughout as we reach our neighbors. It's about lining ourselves up with the power of God. And when we do that, that's when everything changes. The late A.W. Tozer said it this way: "If the Holy Spirit was withdrawn from the church today, 95% of what we would do would go on, and nobody would know the difference. If the Holy Spirit had been withdrawn from the New Testament church, 95% of what they did would stop, and everybody would know the difference." That's about the nitrous. That's about the power. That's why I think our witness business is not doing so good. It's not going so good. Somebody said, you got to take the people to God before you take God to the people. You got to take people to God before you take God to the people, and I believe that's true. So let me tell you why I think prayer is important. What prayer gives us. What does prayer give us? And the first thing is the power to do the impossible. The power to do the impossible. Acts chapter 1, verses 8 has been kind of our theme verse for this series. And it says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. But if we back up to verses 4 and 5, Jesus tells the disciples to wait. He says, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So Jesus tells them to wait. And that's how the church got started, when they waited for the power. And look what happens in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. It says, "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them." That's awesome. That's awesome. There's a fireball on top of their head. Think about this. This is before pyrotechnics, right? Nobody had ever seen anything like this before. This is before Michael Jackson's fireball and his Pepsi ad, right? Remember that? I mean, you talk about spectacular. These guys, they weren't sitting back going, "Oh, that was pretty cool. Yeah, that was pretty cool." They were sitting back going, "Holy cow." They were literally blown away. There's a wind coming in, there's a fire coming down and sitting on top of their heads, but not burning them, not catching them on fire. And then what happens? This is really cool. All of them were filled with the Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Holy Spirit enabled them. The apostles were actually preaching in a language they didn't even understand. It's like the Rosetta Stone miracle here, right? Isn't that awesome? I mean, wouldn't you love for something to just happen and all of a sudden you could understand Spanish or French or German? Just like all of a sudden, boom. I mean, I would love that. And here's why this is important. Here's why this is important. The first two things were just signs, the wind and the fire. But the speaking in another language was there so they could literally be able to communicate with people that they wouldn't have been able to communicate with otherwise. And you know what's cool about that? Every once in a while, somebody will tell me, "There's these people in my life that I really love and I want them to know Jesus, but we just don't connect. For whatever reason, they're in a different place than me. They believe differently than me, whatever. We just don't connect." Have you ever asked God to allow the Holy Spirit to do it for you? This same power is available for all of us. This is God's mission. Paul at one time just put the people in their place. He said, look, quit holding me up as the example. Quit worshiping Apollos. Quit worshiping all these people. I planted, Apollos watered, but God is the one who does all this. This is God's deal. This is how it works. On March 28th, 1990, anybody know a guy named Michael Jordan? Anybody know that name? Yeah. All you people that have your hands down, you're liars. You know him. Played for the Chicago Bulls, right? And the Wizards at one point, but that was, and he played some baseball, but that was, nobody knows about that. But he had his highest point game ever scoring on March 28th, 1990. It was against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Unfortunately, everything is against Cleveland. It's always against Cleveland. But he had his highest scoring game. He scored 69 points in an overtime thriller against Cleveland Cavaliers. 69 points. 69 points. There was a rookie who also played in that game that night for the Bulls. Anybody know the name Stacey King? No, not many people know the name Stacey King. He's a rookie that year. Stacey played for 17 minutes. He took 4 shots, missed them all, and he made 1 of 2 free throws when he was fouled in the act of shooting. 1 point. 1 point. After the game in the locker room, when being interviewed by the press, Stacy was quoted as saying, "I'll always remember this as the night that Michael Jordan and I combined to score 70 points." But that's how I feel about my job, right? Yeah, I maybe make a free throw every once in a while, and God shows up and scores 69 points, and we win. Isn't that awesome? The Greek word for power is dunamis. Everybody say dunamis. Which is the word we get dynamite from. It's the explosive power. Explosive power. When the Holy Spirit is unleashed upon these people, it's crazy. Peter, the guy who just denied Jesus three times, right? A few days ago, he ran off, scared. He gets up and he preaches a sermon. And it's so convicting that the people go, "Oh man, what shall we do? What shall we do, Peter?" And Peter says, "You should repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and this promise is for you and your children and all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call." Now, I'm not sure that was even comforting to them to think. Not only could they be saved, but they could get the gift of the Holy Spirit. I mean, they could have the fireball, right? They could have the tornado. They could speak in different languages. I don't think they were ready for that. But doesn't that intrigue you? Doesn't that intrigue you that God made a promise that the children's children, which would be us, can have that same power? The Holy Spirit is available. Luke chapter 11, verse 13, Jesus said, "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" So you ask. Now you may say, "I've asked before. I've asked before. What happened?" Well, Dwight L. Moody had a great line for that. When people ask D.L. Moody, "How come you keep asking to be filled with the Spirit?" He said, "Because I leak." Right? Anybody leaking here? Because I leak. That's why I need to go back every day and ask the Lord to fill me back up again. That's what prayer is for. It gives me the power. And what happened in Acts chapter 4, 31, it says, "After they had prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly." When did this happen? After they prayed. What else does prayer give us? Gives us the power to know the truth. Jesus says this in John chapter 14, 26. "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name," listen to this, "will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you." Teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. Doesn't that sound good? The Holy Spirit can teach me stuff and remind me of stuff, which is awesome, because I have a tendency to forget things easily. Actually, the older I get, the more I relate to the story of two old guys that are talking about their favorite restaurant one day. The one guy was trying to explain it to his friend. He's like, "I can't remember the name of it." He finally said, "What's the name of that flower? It's got beautiful petals and thorns and it smells nice." The other guy goes, "Rose?" The first guy goes, "Yeah, that's it. Rose! What was the name of that restaurant we liked?" What if the Holy Spirit could be your supernatural cheat sheet? What if the Holy Spirit could help you to remember things that maybe you wanted to remember? Maybe the Holy Spirit could speak through you in supernatural ways. I've had this happen before. where I'll have a person say, man, the Lord really spoke to me when you said this in your sermon. And I'm sitting there thinking, I never said that in my sermon. I didn't say that. I don't even know what you're talking about. Maybe you watched Joel Osteen or something before you came. I don't know. I don't remember ever saying that. But it doesn't matter because the Holy Spirit can do things without me, right? That's what's so great. And the same power is available for you. 2 Peter 1:21 says, for prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And the same power is available for us. Power to do the impossible. Power to know the truth. And the last thing prayer gives us is the power to witness. The power to witness. Again, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You have to remember who Jesus is talking to. This is really important. These are disciples. Now, I don't know if you've read the Gospels. If you haven't, just trust me on this. There's not one time when Jesus says to his disciples, you guys are awesome. I love your great faith. I'm so glad that you're here with me. Never once. It's always like they never seem to get it. He always says, you have little faith. Why do you doubt? How come you can't have more faith? Peter, the guy who preaches this first sermon, is the guy who just said, Jesus, I'm going to die with you if I have to. And then that night denies him three times. At the cross, do you know how many of the disciples were at the cross with Jesus? Even though Jesus had told them and had explained to them over and over again, here's how it's going to go. I'm going to die and I'm going to rise again. This is how it's going to go. There was one out of 12 disciples at the cross. It was John. One out of 12. That was it. Where was everybody else? They were all in their little room hiding out for fear of the Jews. You see, sometimes I think people, they're like, I'm not a pastor. I'm not a disciple. I'm not an apostle. I can't do those things. Neither could they. Neither could they. Jesus said, when you get the power, you can. When you get the power, you can. Look at what Acts chapter 4, verse 33 says. With great power, the apostles continue to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. With great power. With great power. Here we are at this moment. 2.6 billion followers of Jesus on this planet. Only 3,000 small tribal people groups that don't yet have the Gospels. It's gone around the world many, many times. The largest religious group in the world, right? How does that happen? Through these guys? Through those guys? It doesn't. It happens through the Holy Spirit and people who let the Holy Spirit use them. You can't do it. Nothing you do has the power to change a person's heart. It's only God's power working through you that has the power to change their heart. So what should we pray for? What should we pray for? Well, in Colossians 4, verse 3, Paul says this, pray for us that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ. That's it. That's what you should pray for. God, give me the opportunity to tell people the good news because that's why I'm here. I'm supposed to be a witness. So we pray for our friends. We pray for our family. We pray for our neighbors, the people that we have a relationship with, to have the opportunity to share the gospel with them. You know what will happen? When you start praying, you will start seeing opportunities. Rick Warren says it this way. Prayer makes me aware. And not only does it bring God into the process, but it makes me think about those people. When I'm praying for the needs of my family, I'm aware of the needs of my family and my neighbors, and that's how the whole thing works. prayer makes me aware. So three quick action steps as we close out this morning. Three quick action steps you can take for prayer as we close out this series. The first one is, do a prayer walk. Do a prayer walk. What do I mean? Just walk around your neighborhood and pray for your neighbors. Walk around the office you work in or the factory you work in and pray for your coworkers. Don't like go up them to them and physically like lay hands on them and start praying. That's just going to freak them out. It'll be weird. But pray for them. Just pray for them. It's amazing what God will do after we begin to pray. Number two, set your alarm to pray at 10:02. Set your alarm to pray at 10:02. Take out your phones and set a timer to pray at 10:02. Why 10:02? Well, this is Luke's recording of the harvest verse. Luke 10:2 says, he told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. So take out your phone and set a reminder to pray at 10:02. A.M. or P.M., it doesn't matter. Or do both. Do both. 10:02, pray that God would just send out workers into the field. And Lord, if that's me, then show me what you want me to do. Number three, tell your neighbor, coworker, friends, family member, whoever that person is that you have compassion for, tell them you're going to be praying for them. Just tell them you're going to be praying for them. At some point, there will be an opportunity when you invite them into your yard and into your house and you have a relationship with people. At some point, they will either tell you something that you can say, hey, I believe in God and I pray. Do you mind if I pray for you? Do you mind if I pray for you? Or you could just flat out say, you know what? I pray. I got my alarm set for 10:02 every day. You don't have to tell them why. And just say, I pray every day for some things and I believe in God and I'm a follower of Jesus. Can I pray for you? And here's the important part. If you tell someone that you will pray for them, then you have better pray for them, right? I mean, if you tell someone you're going to pray for them, right? Don't lie. Write it down. Pray for them. Because when you do this, you are essentially telling that person two things. One, I care about your pain. I care about your pain. And two, I believe in a good God who also cares about your pain. That's what you're telling them. I care about you, and I believe in a God who cares about you. I've really enjoyed this series, and tonight we're going to wrap it up with this worship and prayer service tonight. It's going to be a little bit different. We're going to do some things different. I know it's always, you know, a tendency when not to show up when things are a little bit different, but I challenge you to come. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be maybe not fun. I don't know. Depends on what happens. It's going to be good, though. And we're going to take some time. We're going to worship, and then we're going to have some corporate prayer. And so come and do that. And we're going to be thanking God for all he's done so far and asking God to continue to use us as we continue to live our life on mission. And our mission here at FBC, as we have said, is pursuing God and pursuing people. So I hope you will join us this evening and be encouraged and challenged as we go before the Lord this evening. I pray that you'll come and have a good time as we do that. Will you pray with me? Father God, we just thank you. We thank you for the opportunity to talk about life on mission and what that means to us and maybe see some even practical action steps that we can take in our lives to connect and share and grow with people, Father, and pray for people. And Father, I pray that you will just continue to challenge us and encourage us to do that. We're here for a purpose, and that purpose is to be witnesses with our lives and even with our words. And so, Father, continue to challenge this church, continue to challenge your people to step up and do just that. Father, we pray for this service that we're going to be doing tonight. Father, I pray that you just show up, be evident in that service, Father, and just bless those that come and encourage us as we worship, come before your feet and worship you, and we pray with each other. So Father, we just love you and we thank you for everything you've done through this series, for the hearts that you've touched, the hearts that you've encouraged to continue to move forward, press on in their mission. We love you.